Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
To let you know, I can really shake them down.
Everybody, watch me now.
Hey, work,
on, baby.
Work. Work.
Oh, it doesn't feel like work when we're in here, though.
Work, not at all.
Nice potato. You could do the twist.
Love this song.
Real shit, this is the song that I learned how to dance on.
Really? It wasn't Sweet Home Alabama like Forrest Gump?
No. This song was like, oh, dancing. And then after that, Michael Jackson. And then, uh-huh. But I was young, so, you know, these are songs that was already out. I was introduced to. Yeah, this is the one.
Like, very cool. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to everyone. Come on in, sit down, have a seat. We are all here. Lyric is here.
Yeah.
Brown Waters is here.
Yo.
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is Your Weekly Dose Podcast.
Yeah. And thank you for joining us today. And, of course, we are always streaming live to you from Orange County.
That's right. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, our podcast is about having fun as we recap our past week and lighten your day through laughter.
Yeah, because you already know we like to make you laugh while we talk about the silly, awkward, and embarrassing things we done all done lately. Because, you know, we talk about the things that connect us all and the thing that make us all human, because laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new guys, we love it when you're a part of the show. So join in the conversation with us by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
You know, you can always send us a message via X or Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can always connect with us on your Facebook at Your Weekly Dose or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And those letters have been coming in, and we might be reading some next week. So, yeah. Absolutely, man. It's going to be scary.
Yeah,
but we've got a pretty cool show for you guys today. We've got movie reviews with Paul Preston.
Yeah.
And it's National Spouse Day, so we got funny tweets about each other's spouses. Also, couples, things that couples argue about the most. And we're going to go back to the 1950s, because I don't think these guys have ever heard this. I know some of you guys, Mark and Brian listeners, have the rules of what makes a good wife.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I know I got to listen to the song again. I'm so sorry.
Don't stop.
I know. It's too short of a song. There you go. And we're going to help Lyric today. Because today is National Kazoo.
Y'all already fucking up the show. Like, y'all already fucking up the show. We just started.
Hey.
We just started the show. Y'all already going to go on.
You ready to work? You ready to work?
Yeah, right? Because we could call your replacement. He did a fine job last week.
Oh!
Oh, wow. Oh, word.
I did not say that, dude.
Oh, wow. Is that where we at?
No, I was just having
You was having his back.
That's all I was.
You was having his back. Oh, wow.
I didn't even know my back was exposed.
Wow, man. And he a friend of mine.
Welcome to the show today.
Welcome to the show, y'all.
That's your partner.
Loyal partner.
See, I knew when I brought you guys on, you guys were a team, but damn. I see cracks in the pavement now.
No cracks.
But see, if he didn't act like that, then something would be like, hey, man, you okay?
Yeah.
All right? Like, if he didn't fuck with me, if we didn't talk shit like that, it'd be like, hey, man, like, we need to talk about it, all right?
Yeah, man. No, we had a good time with Steve, and again, thanks, Steve, for coming in last week. Because you were out doing your thing.
Thank you, sir.
But we called, and you were still part of the show, so it was fun. But no, these are the 1950 rules again to what makes a good wife. And then, of course, name that kazoo tune. We're going to try later on today. I've got something to help you, though.
See, I'm humming. Shit don't work.
You're blowing right now. No, really, you're blowing. It's not working. All right,
well, you could take some time when we're doing some other stuff and practice in the background. You look like Tyler Perry.
It worked there. I heard it.
You look like Tyler Perry when you were like that. There you go. You almost had it.
Yeah, you almost had it.
Get that anger. Use your anger.
It's the dark side. It's the dark side.
Good. Good.
Fuck a kazoo.
Let your anger come out.
Oh, shit. Do you love me?
Young lyric, let the anger flow through you.
I invented the
pizza. Well, listen, guys, not only can you download our show for free from our website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Just search for yourweeklydose.com, and most importantly, or Weekly Dose, period, and tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show, just like listener Don. Don does it all the time for us. So
love you, Don.
Absolutely. And, of course, Do You Love Me by The Contours, because, again, it is National Spouse Day, so we want to celebrate that as well.
But you got to learn how to dance first. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. Because after that, you go, Do You Love Me?
She's like, you ain't got no rhythm. Uh-uh. Get
but
out
Do
here.
You Love Me?
Hell no.
Yeah. If you dance
can
like
you
that.
Do the, like, can you do the electric slide?
Yeah. I can't see you in bed if you dance like that.
Yo, oh, man. Yo, Chad Ochocinco said when he looked for a woman, he said, man, I don't care about your brain. What's your 4-4? Yeah. what's your 40 look like? What's your vertical leap? Like, yo.
There you go. There you go. The things that really matter.
Yeah, for real.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's catch up with each other, guys. Well, we'll start with the angry guy in the corner. How was your week, Larry?
It was easy, man. We got the website up, thanks to the homie over here. We got the website up, got the raffle started.
And the website is called?
Sketchybudget.com.
There you go.
Y'all need to go on there ASAP. We're doing a raffle for an autographed Shaq Lakers jersey. You know what I'm saying? $10 a ticket. That's going to help fund the Sketchy Budget show.
So cool. Did I give you the thing to raffle off to or no? The autograph?
No, we didn't get your autograph. We'll get that. We'll talk offline. Other than that, that's it, man. Same old, just hustling, trying to get everything done. Re-putting my podcast back online, so I'm figuring out the graphics of that and designing that. So just staying busy, man, trying to stay creative.
Good. You know? Good. Glad to hear it.
Looking for another job, trying to get the fuck off this lift shit.
Yeah, I hear that.
So I'm about to kill somebody.
I hear that.
But yeah, same old, same old.
Good, man. Good. BW, how about you?
Oh, man, just taking care of the family. They was a little sick under the weather, so I was doing that. And, that's what everybody was doing most of the time because I was giving them medicine, like, back to back. And making sure this website and the raffle was going because that's what I was on. You know, the website is on Zephy. You can go to Sketchy Budget Entertainment and you can find it. You know what I'm saying? It's something exciting for us. You know, we're going to help us get going and get the production going and stuff. But other than that, for real, though, just been locking in with the family because...
Well, you guys also forgot the most important thing.
What was that?
Well, we hung out last Saturday.
We did. I was just about to get to that, you know, and then recovering from the party from my little baby. Man, she had so many toys and stuff. We had to, you know, you got to separate them and bring them out one at a time. But, you know, so it's been fun. You know, sun came out yesterday, which was beautiful.
Yeah. Thank God.
Sun came out. Yeah. Man, just sitting down in the sun. We just
the whole family just stretched out on the back.
I'm going to work on my tan.
We all needed that sun.
I'm going to work on my tan.
It was beautiful to see the sun.
It was a rejuvenation week. So that's what that was about.
Well, the party was nice, and thank you for inviting me to come down. So, loved the special punch that was made.
Oh, yeah, that was delicious.
That was really nice.
Oh, that was so cool.
I wasn't playing around.
Yeah, because I was in the kitchen going,
I saw him making that shit. I was like, ooh. Ooh, that's clear.
Yeah. And the thing is that I smelled it from your cup.
Oh, no, that was something completely different.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That was something from Chris. Well, that was completely different.
Well, the thing is, I smelled it, and I went, well, I want that. So I went to the kitchen later on to get a drink, and I saw the big thing there.
They had two of them, son.
Both of them was for
the kids, and one was for the adults.
Oh, okay.
I got the kids one first.
All right.
And it was good, but I kind of went, where's the adult stuff, man? And then I looked to the left a little bit more and went, I had that before I drove home.
That was real adult stuff. That was real adult stuff.
Oh, boy.
Berries and all kinds
of stuff. Put some hair on your chest right there, boy.
Aunt B, good eggnog. Oh, yeah. Man,
it was a good time.
Absolutely it was. I must say, though, I got a little hungry, and I'm thinking, 3 o'clock. To five.
It was only supposed to be 3 to 5, so we was like,
well,
I saw that. I knew when I got there, I knew immediately, we ain't starting at 3 o'clock. Like, we ain't gonna be ready to go back.
And then for a moment, I thought that we were related because that's my family, man.
Oh, starting
because
late,
I tell them that, you know, if I want them here at noon, I tell them 10.
That way they get here at noon.
Also, we got to go on the baby schedule, so they take a nap.
Baby was running around.
Yeah, no, when we got there, he was knocked.
Yeah, they
out.
Was knocked out.
When I first got
there,
she was done.
Yeah, so
but I gotta say, I saw a picture of your grandmother.
Uh huh.
That was a beautiful lady.
Thank you. Yeah.
She really was. Now I don't know where you got your looks from, but I know it wasn't from her.
It was a mesh. My grandpa was an ugly.
Well, I could talk because of you right now.
he's torn from the floor.
Yeah, because grandma was a good looking.
So
lady.
Grandma, she really loved him. It was all love. Trust me.
Woo, child. But no, grandma was a good looking lady, and I could tell, man, there was a lot of love there with her and that smile just in that picture alone,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And that was cool. That was really cool. Now, there was a young teenager boy there, a thin boy that I was playing pool with. I didn't get a chance to.
My son.
The tall, thin one?
Yeah. Well, which one? It was two tall, thin ones.
I think of the glasses.
That was my son.
That's your son?
Yeah.
That's his son.
Wow, the poor guy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, he was very nice, well-mannered.
It could do it.
Yeah, well-mannered young boy. I played pool with him, though, and he was very good. And there was times, too, we were playing pool. Are you sure you want to shoot that ball in that way? You might want to try look at the table another way. Oh,
he don't get out much.
I could tell.
It's a story behind that.
Bring him here.
I try.
Bring him here.
Hey, look, let's send him. If I could send y'all, could y'all help me bring him here? I'll tell y'all that story one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I try.
Very nice young gentleman, though. Very well-mannered and everything. And so far, you've done a wonderful job with him. So.
Yeah, as much as I could.
Yeah. That's good.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Dude.
So, well, for me, it's been a busy week, though.
Busy is good.
It's been really good, and I've got some good news, I think, so I don't want to spoil it just yet, but I will say that I'm on the verge of having another full-time position, possibly. Yeah, which is good.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave it there. So when the good news definitely comes down, hopefully I'll get an answer and let you guys know by next week.
When the blessings go up.
Yes, exactly. So
when the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Mm-hmm. And but I also went this week, went to the NAMM show, which started on Thursday. And if you guys aren't too familiar with the NAMM show, some of our listeners are who are musicians. But those of you who don't, NAMM stands for the National Association of Musical Merchants. And basically what it is, they do two shows a year, one in January, one traditionally in July. And the one in January is more international. So people from all around the world come. And what it is, if you are a manufacturer of any type of musical product, this is your time to show off what you've got, whether it be a trumpet, a guitar, a piano, a kazoo, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Thursday was the first day. Yesterday was the second day. I go back today and then tomorrow because it runs for 4 days. And so far it's been pretty good. I got to run to a number of friends of mine. Two that are endorse a particular guitar company, which is great. My friend Patrick McCosar, he was my guitar player for a while, and he's been doing stuff on his own now. And very proud of him because he's one of the endorsee guys. Bless you. You okay there, bud?
Yeah.
All right. Dude, he did it in his shirt.
Thank
he's
you.
Okay.
I tried to be. I tried. Yeah, to be,
that thin ass like, sweater that came right through.
I went right over here.
Yeah,
like in the total opposite direction.
Yeah. Now I just all I gotta do is lice all my guitars, and that's it.
The Chappelle Show had a sketch called "The Haters Ball," and there's a part in there that goes, "Hate, hate, 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 hate." We need to download that. And I got the sound. I got the verse. I sent it to you. And
okay,
you need to start playing it for him. It's like his. It's like his anthem.
Oh, is it on YouTube or something? Or?
Yeah, I got it. I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay.
I already got the sound, but I'll send it.
Okay, all right. Because I'm saying I can download, find it right now.
I got
too.
You. Yeah.
But anyway, so
as,
and then...
As you were saying.
Yeah, and then I got to meet Nita Strauss, which is really cool. She's a very well-known guitarist. I got to meet her. Very, very sweet. Very lovely, of course. And then yesterday, I got to hang out with a couple of friends of mine and talk to a couple of guitar companies and then talk to two guests that we've had on this show in the past, singer-songwriters Stephen McClintock and Warren Sellers, so which was nice to run into those guys again and see them. So today we'll go back. So once we're off the air today, I got to run over there and check out some new stuff and find out what's going on and hopefully get some interviews too. That's what I'm kind of hoping for.
Man, I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm saying,
no.
What I mean.
So, as you were saying,
yeah.
Sean, as wait, you were wait, saying, wait. Sir. Thank you, sir.
Because you were saying now. Indiana get it.
You know. You know what, man?
I think a few of our listeners out there are going, did he just call us idiots?
I ain't gonna say nothing, man. I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm good.
So anyway, so yeah, so that's what's going on right now. So I've got the damn show going. So it's been fun and it's cool because I was debating whether to go or not, and then I heard how many other friends of mine were going to go, and I said, nah, I better get going and get my name back out there in the industry again and stuff and so forth. So it's been good. It's been the first 2 days have been really really good, but I was really surprised though, is the amount of vendors that are not there. So.
Probably lost a lot since COVID.
A tremendous amount.
Yeah, it makes
a
sense.
Tremendous.
A lot of them went online, man, and realized they can just do it online. And just...
Well, there are some companies that have done that, but where on the main floor, the halls are divided up into four sections, A, B, C, and A, B, C, D. And then underneath D, though, there's another hall.
Usually.
And that is normally just packed with vendors. Normally, it's all the stuff from Asia or new people bringing out new products or small independent companies doing their own crafts, guitars, and so forth, things of that nature. And that hall is completely empty. And then they're in hall C. Normally, well, A, B, C, and D are normally filled with just various companies and divided into certain sections, brass and woodwinds, drums, and DJ gear, and so forth. So now it's a little bit more mixed. So Hall D is mostly guitars, and what part of the stuff used to be in E is now in D and in A. And trumpet, the brass and woodwinds, that hall got filled up. But the drum ones, about half of the vendors are there. And there's like sections that are not even being used in that hall. Like the last third of that hall is not being used. And normally there's against the back wall a number of vendors too. That's not being used. And then in hall A, there's normally a very large hallway, I'm going to say, that is filled with pro audio gear. And that is completely empty. So, I mean, I pretty much went through what I needed to go through almost in 2 days in the short time, just in the mornings that I was there.
Oh, damn.
So, where normally it does take me 4 days to get through everything that I want to see and visit and stuff and what have you. But some big companies are not there. Gibson's not there. Fender's not there. Roland, oh, wow. Roland is not there.
I'm really surprised Gibson's.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so it's been, it's hit the industry really, really hard, you know, and you can see it. And the attendance, though, is good. But the vendors, I'm probably going to say they probably lost a good third of the vendors. You know, that are not there.
Yeah, that's a drastic change compared to what it used to be.
It's a big change.
It's a pretty big change.
The booths are smaller.
Of course, that makes sense.
You know, and everything. Because like, even like with Ernie Ball, normally they have a nice size booth, you know, where a lot of people can fit in. There's normally a stage or whatever. Half the size of what it normally is now.
Damn.
So, it's changed quite a bit. It's changed quite a bit. But I'm glad attendance is there, though. But so far, it seems like it's a decent show. So we'll find out the reports in probably the next week or two.
We'll hear about it next week.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we should hear about it next week.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll find out what the results are, how many attended and so forth, and up or down or whatever. So we'll find out. But I've been having a good time. That's all that matters.
That's good. So, that's good.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of move on, and let's do What's Trending. I gotta say, I like this theme a lot better. Because it's also giving me the same theme when Lyric goes out and needs to do his thing. Who's in the car with Lyric?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, here we go. You guys aren't gonna believe this one, though. But In-N-Out Burger is closing one of its stores for the very first time. In its 75-year history. Yep. The fast food chain chief operator, Officer Denny Warnick, confirmed that the news in a statement that the company decided to shut its Oakland, California location, which has served the local community for more than 18 years, due to the ongoing crime-related issues.
Oh.
In a statement, Warwick explained that despite taking repeated steps to create safer conditions for our customers and associates, which are their workers, are regularly victimized by car break-ins, property damage, theft, and armed robberies. There have been several In-N-Out Burger locations that have required relocation throughout the 75-year history. However, their Oakland store will be the first location to be closed. They feel the frequency and the severity of the crimes being encountered by their customer associates leave them no alternative. The last day will be March 24th. Warwick did note, though, that anyone affected would be privy to a severance package or relocated to a nearby In-N-Out location.
Man, we got to pray for Oakland. They lost the basketball team, the football team,
and they're losing In-N-Out, man.
Going through it, damn.
Yep, they're losing it all.
Let's go stop the crime.
Exactly. Now, TikTok Jessica Vercaro posted something recently, that a very chaotic video that her mother unpacking several containers of chicken McNuggets from a fleet of McDonald's takeout bags. And it quickly went viral, garnering 11 million views.
Well, it was a video of her just opening chicken McNuggets?
Well, here's what happened, though. Jessica's husband, Chris Mullane, used DoorDash and hit the times 20 on the 10-piece nuggets.
Oh, that's a lot of nuggets.
Oh, wow.
Mullen says in the end, the family decided to treat the mistake as a blessing and not approach DoorDash or McDonald's for the refund. But instead, they did something really nice, which is basically that the family passed out McNugget boxes out to tons of homeless people in their neighborhood of Long Beach, California.
Oh, well, that's dope.
That's pretty cool, though. So you made a mistake. But I would hate to see the bill.
Yeah, that's...
But it ended up being about over 200 nuggets, though.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I did that last week when I ordered the wrong address to my Starbucks. When I tried to get some Starbucks here and put the wrong address, and it went somewhere else. and I didn't complain or get the refund. So, donation, blessings.
Yeah, because if you do it to this, I got to give you the correct address to do it. Because it's kind of hard.
And I was getting pressured, and I was like, just send it here. And then I looked back and was like, oops, that's the wrong
address. My neighbor got it, is what happened.
Yeah, so one of your neighbors.
Yeah, they knock on the door. Well, hello. Well, thank you. I don't know why.
Bless Gerald.
yeah. No, but what was he? What did Gerald order? Oh, it was a cafe halfway latte latte mix.
Oh, that's exactly what I ordered. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, hey, made my morning. That's better than Folgers.
Blesses.
You know,
waiting on another one.
Every Saturday. No, yeah.
Next week, my neighbor's going to get Dunkin' Donuts. Well, Knott's Berry Farm has the jam has been canned.
Oh.
Yep. We were talking about this earlier. J.M. Smucker Company confirmed that Knott's Berry Farm jam brand has been discontinued and no longer being sold. Excuse me. The decision to discontinue the Knott's Berry Farm brand products in its alignment with their strategy to continuously evaluate their portfolio and ensure our dedicated resources to the areas with the greatest growth potential. J.M. Smucker's Company said that we appreciate the fans of the brand and look forward to continuing to serve them through our other offerings. You just lost a lot of people. But the grocery brand will not be confused with Knott's Berry Farm, the famous theme park here in Buena Park, California, owned by entertainment company Cedar Fair. Though the theme park and jam brand began with the family, the Knott family, the theme park no longer has any affiliation with the jam brand. And, of course, social media users reacted to the news with great sadness. But on greater news...
Damn.
I see what you did there. That's funny. That's funny right there. That's why we have you on the show.
Just here for the comic relief.
Damn. See, now I'm making fun of him. I got your back. Of course, now you're just looking at me like, shut the hell up and just read the damn thing.
Nothing for me to say.
Billy Joel fan?
He's cool.
Yeah, all right. Well, he is releasing his first single in 17 years.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm sure Billy appreciates
like,
that.
Like, okay. Continue.
All right. Fans of the legendary piano man are about to get new music. That's right. The Grammy winner, who's 74, is gearing up to release his first single in nearly two decades titled Turn the Lights Back On. The song will be hit streaming services on February 1st and will also be released on limited edition 7-inch vinyl. Joel also plans to release a lyric video for the song, which he co-wrote with Arthur Bacon, Wayne Hector, and Freddie Wexler, who produced the track. Turn the Lights Back On is described as a classic Billy Joel-style tune, one that embodies the hallmarks of his signature sound while also ushering in next chapter of his story overall. So
I hope it's
go.
Not political. I hope it's just a good song.
He's never really been a political
That's good.
Guy.
I hope he stays that way. I hope it's really just like when you hear it, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is classic.
Which is kind of cool, though. But I mean, it's almost been 20 years since we've heard any new music from him, and we're finally getting it.
So I wonder what inspired him to create again.
I don't know. Maybe kind of cool. I mean, to me, it's kind of like cool, like when the Beatles released Now and Then recently.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. That band broke up in 1970, and here it is 53 years later.
But we still can't let the Beatles go, man.
You know, and they're able to put out a new recording that all four of them are on. I mean, who thought that technology would ever come about? Yeah.
Nobody like that.
You know, which is cool. So, if you think about it, a band that broke up 53 years ago just put out a brand new single. That's crazy to think about it like that.
Wow.
The future, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, hey,
future, baby.
Billy's doing his thing, and I like it. So, and that is what's trending.
Oh, it's a tough ball.
Yeah. Let's see. Just wait for him. Nobody's right on time, so let's see what happens. I feel weird. I'm just waiting to play and they're not saying anything right now.
Yeah. All right, y'all. So now we're about to call Paul. Here we go.
So now all we got to do is we change the music up and talk to now our buddy, our pal, our friend, Mr. Paul Preston from The Movie Guys.
Hey, Paul. What's up, gang?
What's up,
your weekly dose, gang?
What is up, brother? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, doing okay. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is, man.
Award season.
Yeah, did you see the Critics' Choice Awards where Harrison Ford got the award?
Damn straight, for those who don't know.
Oh, man, that was so good.
I do a podcast called The Ford Fiesta. It's nothing but love for Harrison Ford. Every episode is a different look at a different film from his catalog. We're starting with the 7 movies he did before American Graffiti. Who knew that there were that many? But he was part of the studio system, and people just stick him in a Western, stick him in a hippie movie, whatever. And what we did not think would happen was us to be busier than ever covering what Harrison Ford is currently doing. Dial of Destiny, 1923, Shrinking, getting, you know, nominations, getting cast in the MCU, winning this Career Achievement Award. So, yeah, the guy's busier than ever, yeah,
he's
it seems.
Busy.
And, you can't have any patrons.
Those films that Harrison did before American Graffiti, which of those are your favorite? Or out of those, which one is your favorite, I should say?
Oh, boy. Well, do you know the first person Harrison Ford ever punched on screen? We're tracking the punch totals. And up through, Patriot Games or maybe The Fugitive, he's punched he cracked 100 finally of punching people on screen. 39 of those alone were Temple of Doom. But the first person he ever punched, you wouldn't think, Jack Lemmon.
Really?
Oh, wow.
In a little movie called Love. It's actually based on a play that I did many years ago in Rhode Island. It's a comedy. It's very funny. The movie's okay. The movie didn't quite translate as funny, but you know, you get to watch Peter Falk and Jack Lemmon be hilarious. There's one quick scene where Lemmon and Lane May are in a car, and she backs up into his car, and he's just like a disgruntled, whatever a 1968 hipster would be. And he gets out, he walks over, and he goes, "Hey!" And Jack Lemmon looks at him, punches him in the face, gets back in the car, and leaves. It's a great,
wow.
That's all the Harrison Ford you're going to get. That's what you want him to do.
Wow.
Yeah, and Lemmon, of course, who did. Okay, what the hell? No, why did the, you know, this whole Lemmon thing is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think Getting Straight is probably my favorite because he was in that the most. It's an Elliot Gould movie where he plays a total campus hippie, and it's off character for what you'd expect from Harrison Ford. He's like, "Hey man, we're having a party. Come on in, man." You know, he's crazy. That's fun to watch as a big fan.
For me, it's the one that he did with Gene Wilder, the Western.
Ah, now see, that's post Star Wars.
Oh, is that?
That's his busiest year perhaps ever. He did.
I thought that was before.
No, he did Frisco Kid, Force 10 from Navarone, Hanover Street, Apocalypse Now, and more American Graffiti. He did a cameo on that, all in the same year.
I did not realize he was in Apocalypse Now.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, but he has the super important role of sending Martin Sheen on his mission. I mean, he does the line, "Terminate the colonel's command," and then the other guy says, "Terminate with extreme prejudice." Like, he's part of that super important scene. Then he goes away, but it's just great to have him there. And he plays, trivia, Colonel Lucas.
Coppola's, oh, that's funny.
George. Yeah.
Word.
That is funny.
Anyway, there's more than you want to know about Harrison Ford. Yeah. And that's all pre-1980, and he's already awesome. God, so, yes, the Career Achievement Award was much deserved.
Well, if you get a chance, definitely pop up on YouTube and watch it. You know, just do a search for it. You know, Harrison Ford, Critics' Choice, and you'll see a very humbling speech, but they have a little montage, too, of his works, and it's amazing.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just really, really good.
It's like, that was a great montage of Harrison Ford. Now let's show the montage of the greatest, most popular movies of all time. Same montage.
Yeah.
And he was very humble. And he's, you know, he doesn't have to get up there and say something about how he enjoys the direction the industry is taking and how there's more opportunities for more people. I mean, that was really cool, you know. He didn't have to do that. He could just say, "Oh, thanks, guys. That was pretty great, wasn't I?" But, you know, said smart things and inclusionary things, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I always love it when Mark Hamill does an impression of Harrison, though.
So good.
I don't think I've seen his impression.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
I got to look that up.
Let me see if I can find it real quick while the guys talk a little bit there. So while I'm looking that up, Paul, why don't you go ahead and talk to us about the nominees for Oscars?
Yeah, speaking of awards, yeah, the nominations came out Tuesday early in the morning. What would you like to talk about? I mean, there's a ton of categories and a ton of different things to discuss. You want to just start with Best Picture?
Yeah, let's go with that.
We got American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Now, of course, all the talk now is about Barbie being passed over for director and actress. You know, they say the two people who were most responsible for that movie being great. That movie should be nominated for Best Picture, I would like to say, and I hope no one is doubting that, because there's a movie that just swung way past its IP. You know, it's a better movie than Barbie ever deserved to take the concept and expand it the way they did to include, you know, talks about gender and the history of Barbie in the world and its, you know, and women. It was much stronger film than it deserved to be. It could have been just a dopey. And that makes me nuts when people are like, it's a stupid toy commercial. Why are people upset? Well, clearly you didn't see it. And if you did, you didn't understand it. Both of those I get with your stupid comment. So so it's definitely worthy of that nomination, I think. As ever, even with 10 nominees, you may remember 2008, The Dark Knight was not nominated despite being perhaps the most roundly critically well-received movie of that year.
Yep.
And so the Academy went, well, we're certainly eliminating $500 million worth of ticket buyers from seeing our Oscar awards because we're not nominating movies that are popular. So they expanded to 10 nominations, up to 10. Some years they have 8, some they have 10 for Best Picture. Now, when you do that, of course, you're going to have 10 Best Picture nominations and 5 director nominations. So automatically, 5 people are going to be left out of being nominated for a movie that is essentially Best Picture material. So already they've set themselves up for, you know, all this Twitter chatter and elsewhere where people are complaining about the nominees. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've set themselves up for failure to have everyone go, well, I get it, you know, because you just can't do it. Bill Maher made an interesting point last night where, you know, if you talk about the patriarchy having a hand in this, you know, that Ryan Gosling was nominated, but the women weren't. Margot Robbie was nominated against other actresses. So it's not like, you know, Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Actress and stole that from under her.
Right.
You know, she just didn't get the nomination. But again, there's going to be snubs every year.
Yeah.
I mean, for Best Actress, I mean, I think, you know, in a little scene film, Florence Pugh for A Good Person was great. Callie Spaney, I talked about Priscilla on this show. I thought she was fantastic as Priscilla Presley in that movie. So, you know, not everyone's going to get a nod. But a great nod that is in Best Actress is Sandra Hüller for the movie Anatomy of a Fall, also nominated for Best Picture. I recommend going and finding and watching that film. It is quite the courtroom drama mystery thriller from France that is, boy, it's just a lot. It's dense dialogue. It's a lot of plotting, and you just get wrapped up in it. It's really good. So, and she was also in The Zone of Interest, which is nominated for Best Picture as well. And if you're going, what are these movies? That's my job to tell you, because talks all these movies at the end of December. And then there's, I think I talked about this before, didn't I? Backloading, I call it, where it's like, hey, go see 40 movies before the nominees come out. You're like, I mean, I'm a nut about movies and I have trouble seeing them all. If you're just like regular moviegoer, you're not going to see or hear of all these movies, and the nominations come out, and then the awards happen, and you don't care. And it's a shame that they don't release these movies throughout the year more. And then add on to that the lack of hype that a streaming movie will dish out. You know, how many times have someone said, have you seen blah, blah, blah movie? No. Oh, it's on Netflix. So, really? Yeah, for like 2 months ago. What? Like, that happens all the time. So, lack of hype. And just this crazy end of the year dump of all the awards movies. If you don't know what these movies are, you're not allowed.
Paul, was there any nominations this year that were a total surprise for you?
A total surprise? Let's see. I mean, I was thrilled that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, my favorite movie of the year, was nominated for Best Score. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of other movies they could have nominated, but they look at John Williams and went, yeah, the guy's still got it. 91 you know, and that made him the most nominated living person at 54 Oscar nominations.
And one was, five.
I guess it was Walt Disney, who I think had 59. So he doesn't have the career record, but he has the most.
Most overall.
But I think we're all excited to see Godzilla Minus One get a Best Visual Effects nomination. That was pretty cool as
my,
well.
My brothers saw it, and they've seen it twice now.
Really?
Yeah, they love it.
And wow. If you're interested in seeing it now, I think it's back in theaters in a black and white version. So Yep. It's kind of like the old.
Oh, really?
That's the one they went and saw last night.
Visual effects. So that,
that's going to be cool. I would enjoy that then.
Yeah.
I would really enjoy that.
I also recommend a movie called Perfect Days by Wim Wenders, one of the classic filmmakers going. He made, Wings of Desire, Buena Vista Social Club, Paris, Texas, all these like highly praised critical darling movies for years, and he made another one. And Perfect Days is about a guy in Japan who cleans toilets, and that's it. And the people he meets. But Wow. If you're not crying, I mean, I was just crying at the end of that movie. Like, why is this super simple story just affecting me so? And that's the work of a fantastic actor in the lead role and Wim Wenders' brilliant direction. So that was a happy surprise.
Paul, do you see anybody that's going to be a big surprise? I know last year, K.Q. Kwan won for Best Supporting Actor, I believe. And then we had Brandon Fraser win for The Whale for Best Actor. Do you think we're going to get any surprises like that this year?
I'm not so sure. I think Best Actress is still up for grabs as much as Emma Stone seems to be running the table there. Lily Gladstone and Killers of the Flower Moon. They both split the awards usually when it's dramatic and comedic. Of course, we just have one Best Actress category for the Oscars. So they'd have to pick who they like better there. And I think, of course, Carey Mulligan in Maestro is outstanding, and Sandra Hüller, who I mentioned, is also great. So, but Paul Giamatti looks to be making the run for actor. I don't know if that would be a surprise. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., how great was it to see him again in Oppenheimer? It had been 4 years since he had been in anything, and I thought he was just fantastic. So he seems to be winning all the pre-Oscar awards, so hopefully he goes there. I think
Has Robert been nominated before?
The biggest surprise will be whoever wins actress, because I think it's between Stone and Gladstone.
Okay. Has Robert been nominated before, Robert Downey?
Chaplin, for sure.
Chaplin, yeah.
Maybe Okay. Something else that I'm forgetting. But also, if America Ferrera wins for Barbie, that could be a surprise, too, because I think Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, it's kind of hers to lose, but all the Barbie, maybe they'll say give it to America Ferrera because we screwed up on Margot Robbie, so that could happen. And Ferrera's excellent. I mean, all these nominees are excellent. It's kind of, can't figure out who is the best actress unless they all acted the same role, and then you could pick who did it the best. But so it's all subjective.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing about it, is like who you feel did a great job. That goes back to the old saying, it's an honor just to be nominated.
Yep.
But because, I know for me, Paul Giamatti, it's like, God, I love that man. He's done so many smaller roles, but made them so big, and had these wonderful, great moments that you remember them. And and even when he did, what was the, when he played the president?
John Adams.
John Adams.
Yeah, he's great.
God, oh my God, he was so good in that.
Great series, too.
Yeah, and then you see him in something like Rock of Ages, and does, I think, just as an equally job there as well with a completely different character, though.
Well, He killed so hard in Sideways, like one of the great performances of the 2000s. Wasn't even nominated, And so I think that kind of hurt. Like my friend Paul Moomjean wrote an article for themovieguys.net. You can go check out about the greatest snubs in history, and he includes that as one of them. Yeah. And because he thinks it relegated him from leading actor down to supporting actor, and sure enough, a couple of years later, he received the Best Supporting Actor nomination for Cinderella Man, and he continued to excel in movies like you mentioned, and Straight Outta Compton, he's great in, and these other movies where he's in a supporting role. But put him back in the lead actor part. What happened? Boom, another nomination. It's, well, that's 20 years. We had to wait until he got another, like, really substantial role.
Yeah.
So that's the same. But once he gets it, boom, he's in the lead. Probably the guy who is the forefront, you know, of the race.
So do you think that will be our K.Q. Kwan or Brendan Fraser for this year then if he wins?
Okay, so you're talking about, like, most emotional win.
Well, because, just in general, because, I mean those two kind of came out of left field, you know.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they were winning some awards before, yeah, you know, leading up to the race. And Giamatti's been doing the same. So I don't know if it'd be a horrible surprise, but I think the place would go on their feet.
Yeah.
If, you know, a guy who's consistently good, regardless of the size of the role.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, he's done such great. And to me, it's well-deserved after all these years. It's kind of like Gary Oldman. You know, he did so well in so many different roles,
so
and then
stuff, yeah,
finally won. You know, I mean, there's not a bad role. It's, you know, because guys like that, I call them, those are my Kurt Russells. If they're in a movie, I have to watch it.
It's going to be good. You know what you're getting.
You know, I don't care. If the movie is bad, I don't give a shit. But when they're on the screen, they've got that full commitment there, you know. And those three men are one of those. You know, it's like, shit, Tombstone was on the other night again. I had to watch it. I had to watch it because of Russell. You know, like, oh, shit, man. It's 1:30 in the morning. Come on. You know?
That's what's great about Pulp Fiction. Because when that's on, I just got to watch. But then they have chapters, you know? So then you can, like, turn it off real quick. I got to get out of my life for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool deal.
Otherwise, I would not know when to turn that off.
Cool
but,
deal.
It's a... Certainly, when Kurt Russell shows up in a thing, I gotta check out this dopey Monarch show on Apple TV, but just because he's in it, you know, it's like, all right, I don't know.
Exactly. Paul, when is the Oscars this year?
The Oscars are March. Oh, I don't want to tell you the wrong thing, but I think it's March 11th. So, you know, we've got a whole, like, month and a half of continuing Oscar campaign. So it's March 10th. Sorry, yeah, March 10th, 5
okay.
o'clock.
All right, so we've got the end of next month then to do our thing with you of who will win and who should win.
Yeah, that's always fun, and it'll be a whole another month of, you know, other awards coming out and other campaigns ratcheting up, you know. And that's another thing that drives me nuts about streaming is some of these movies is a lack of awards. You'd think they'd want to, like. I know that for years, Netflix has wanted an Oscar. They just wanted, can we get it for Roma? Can we get it for, you know, whatever? They're just constantly trying. And this year, it's some movies like Society of the Snow. Have you even heard of this? It's nominated for Best International Film and another Oscar, I think. But, like, it just came out on Netflix, like, last week, and nobody's seen it. But if it's amazing, as it seems like it is, to be nominated for Best International, where was the hype, you know, the build an Oscar campaign for that movie.
I've never heard of this.
J.A. Bayona, who directed The Impossible and A Monster Calls, is a fantastic director. And but good luck finding him. But now you can on Netflix. But even then, you turn on Netflix, you see the 10 things I recommend to you, and you don't, may not know to look to find Society.
Well, before you go, I found out, I got here, I think, our impression of Mark Hamill doing Harrison Ford. So let's see if we can.
You heard my Harrison Ford. If the audience is looking at your hair, we're all in big trouble.
Hey, kid. It ain't that kind of movie. If people are looking at your hair, we're all in big trouble.
And next time I saw him, he said, hey,
I don't sound anything like that.
Hey, kid. Don't get cocky.
Harrison turned to me and said,
hey, kid. You didn't tell me that. Hey, kid.
So
that was pretty good.
He does a pretty good dude on. Yeah. So
I couldn't quite hear them. Was that the haircut story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just different ones of him doing Harrison though.
Yeah.
So, all righty, Paul. We will talk to you next month. More Oscar stuff, buddy.
Yeah. So you have a viewing. Hopefully, you know, when you listen to this, maybe you scribble down some titles. You have your viewing list to check out some things maybe you never heard of.
Okay.
Again, Anatomy of a Fall, and Perfect Days and some of the other films out there that are that you're like, what are these? Check them out. You're
right.
Disappointed.
Will do. All right, brother. We will catch you next time then.
See ya.
All right. Take care, buddy. And there you go, guys. That is Paul Preston from themovieguys.net. You got to check it out.
Find them on YouTube. Find them on their webpage and everything. And also the Harrison Ford tribute too as well. Are you big into the Oscars yourself, BW? Or?
I mean, yeah, I watch all the stuff.
Okay.
I do.
Cool. All right, because we're going to...
names and stuff, so...
So this year, we haven't done it, obviously, for obvious reasons or whatever, but normally we do an Oscar party here.
Oh.
So, which is really cool.
Oh.
So we'll have
get
you...
Dressed up? Get dressed?
If you want to, yeah, oh, you know, okay. But, you know, a little nice if you want. You know, we haven't
we gotta
done...
We got to tell Lyric, are we getting dressed up?
Yeah, and then not.
Yeah, then not.
And then not.
If you mad. I put on clothes for the...
Make him rent a tux. Okay.
Yep.
All right. No worries. All right. Well, apparently Lyric had just to leave right now. He's having an emergency. So no worries at all whatsoever. All right. We will continue on with just BW and I. So what do we got coming up next? Well, you know what? It's National Spouse Day.
Okay.
So we've got these things that we want. I found these. I thought they were kind of cool. And in fact, let me get my papers in order. Too many crickets, Sean. Good God. But I will play this in the meantime. All right, so funny tweets regarding spouses, each other's spouses and everything here. We're going to just kind of go back and forth between BW and I. You want to go first?
Sure.
All right, go for it, brother.
All right, this tweet says, marriage is a sacred union between a person who drinks water and another person who refills their water for them and also their own.
That's kind of true, to a degree. Yeah.
So it's one-sided mostly.
Exactly. There you go. Well, good news. I'm not dying of scarlet fever. I just didn't realize that my wife had turned on the heated car seats.
Oh, yeah, your butt's warm. Your butt's getting warm.
There's a funny story that my grandfather, he bought a car, and it was more of a sports car. And here is a 90-year-old man buying a sports car. Like, what the hell are you doing buying a sports car, dude?
Yeah.
Didn't realize that it had heated seats in there.
Oh.
And he goes, man, I'm about to burn off my balls. How do I turn this off? Whatever. He had to call my mom and find out.
it could work for you, but it could not work for you.
Especially when you're 80 and they're hanging, man. You never know.
Sizzling. The opposite of blue balls.
Yeah. Red balls.
My wife builds a pillow fort around her. I need all these pillows for sound sleep. Also, my wife, why don't you ever cuddle with me?
Yeah, that's kind of like an oxymoron right there.
How am I going?
Yeah, exactly.
Slide under this. Throw this. What you got to do is just throw the pillows off her when she falls asleep, and then just go.
There you go. There are two types of people: those who get to the airport 4 hours early and still worry about missing their flight, and those who think that the final boarding call is a good time to go grab Starbucks, and then they marry each other.
That's my pops. The latter is my pops.
That latter is your pops.
I say we can hurry up and be late. We can leave early and be late.
Be late. Yeah, exactly.
Turns out marriage is hard. My husband just cooked a lasagna for 70 minutes in an oven that wasn't on.
Yeah, I've seen that happen.
I've done that. I've done that.
I didn't know. I thought the gas just warmed it up. How was I supposed to know? Didn't have to light it. Here you go. Here's another tweet here. My husband and I are going away for the weekend. He just came downstairs and asked me if I needed to pack restaurant clothes. He's 55. Restaurant clothes. What are... I know what he meant, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, you ain't going out with me looking like that, I guess.
You know, that's one thing I'm kind of lucky about with my wife. She's never... Really? Are you wearing that? You're not going out like that, are you? Not once. In coming up on the 24 years of marriage.
She accepts you who you are.
Yeah. That's yeah, what's up. Exactly.
Beautiful
yeah.
Love.
I will ask her, though, does this look okay?
Oh, maybe that's why she don't.
You know, there's certain times or whatever, like, because I'll ask, what are you wearing? You know, and I'll try to match colors or something with her or whatever. You know, and they go, is this all right? Is this okay? You know, or sometimes she'll ask me, too, what are you wearing? I said, well, I'm thinking about wearing this and that and a jacket and button down, or whatever, you know, my typical layered thing. She goes, okay.
Well,
you know,
that she, that's sweet.
Yeah, that
you guys match all the time.
The push-up bra, which is nice. So,
I'm good.
Do you wear yours too?
I do. I do. I wear mine too, baby. I've got two right here to mash them together, make one good one.
Me. Do these match? I don't want to look stupid. Wife. Well, that ship has sailed.
Yes, it has. For many men, it has. Here we go. Engaging in marital warfare by loudly stirring my yogurt in a glass jar to retaliate against my husband for offensively slurping his cereal.
Oh, the silent arguments are the best.
Oh.
Chewing loudly. Clicking your toenails.
Clipping your wow. I'm just going to say wow on that one.
The best arguments.
Yeah. Okay.
My wife is wrapping Christmas gifts, so our dog and I have to go in the other room because we don't know how to act around gift wrap rolls.
Yeah, I'm kind of a kid, too, when it comes to certain things or whatever. You know, if, like, I see a fan and I'm carrying balloons. Balloons in the fan. Balloons in the fan.
What I don't get is when you take 10 minutes to wrap a gift, a kid is just about to destroy.
Like,
why are you taking so long to wrap this one gift?
I got to admit, I'm kind of, like, in between that because, I mean, my mother is a beautiful gift wrapper. Uh-huh. I mean, she puts all her effort into it, the bow and the, you know, and everything around it. So it looks gorgeous. You know, it looks like it came from Macy's or something or whatever, you know? And I'm thinking, we're going to just tear that apart.
Like, they would never look at the, oh, this is a beautiful wrap present.
You know, and I'm kind of like, you know, it's not completely tight. It's semi-loose and
I just put
couldn't
paper
fold
around
it, or yeah, you
I
know,
just wrap paper around it to put tape.
That's well, one year, my wife and I put everything in a big giant bag,
yeah,
and just pulled things out one at a time. Here you go,
the best.
Here you go. Let's see. Here's another one here. My wife got. I know I've seen a lot of these. We got picked here for about the wives complaining about their husbands, though. My wife got mad at me again. I guess it isn't too funny to give the last rites to every plant she puts in the cart at Home Depot. Oh. That's pretty funny.
You're going to die.
You're going to die. And you're going to die.
It was nice knowing you.
It was. I don't care what you say, Mr. Venus Flytrap. You're going to die.
It's like how Finding Nemo felt when the girl came in at the dentist.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, snaps. We go home with her.
Wake up, fishy. Wake up. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Not good. Not good. All right, here we go. You got this next one?
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. Today is our anniversary.
It is.
If the schedule works out, my wife and I will have a romantic dinner from the concession stand at our daughter's softball game.
That does happen from time to time.
Yeah, you can't change it.
That does happen.
Dates happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where Karen and I were like, really? We have to go there?
Yeah.
Really? It's our anniversary? Okay,
it's
all
the
right.
Kids.
All right. Here we go. Next one is, hello, I'd like to report a felony. I sent my husband out to get supplies for a what, Carrick?
Charcuterie
board, and he came back without any cheese.
Oh.
Yeah, not good. Not a smart man. You're going to go out for a charcuterie board. You know. A Chipotle board. You know, then you got to come back with a Chipotle cheese.
Right?
Exactly.
From Chipotle. Me to anyone else. It's in that cabinet. Me to my husband. It's in the upper cabinet next to the fridge on the left at eye level. It's bright green. It's right there. It's right there.
I've heard that so many times, and I'm from my mom even, and I still don't see it. And then she'll come over running. It's right here.
Don't you hate
and then
that?
It's in the back where it wasn't, you know, where she said it, where, you know, it's in a different spot, basically, you know.
Oh, but I hate when they find it when you're looking for it, though. That's the best justification is when they say, it's right there, and they get up, and it's not there. You're like, I told you it wasn't there. Best.
That's in a different location.
That doesn't happen often.
Well, I don't know who moved it. Maybe you or Dad. I don't know. There's only three people who live here. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. My in-laws are visiting, and I feel like my mother-in-law is much too smug for someone whose son I'm still raising.
Dang.
You
didn't finish your job, lady.
Yeah. You know, I gotta admit, I'm very fortunate, and I think my wife is too. I've got great in-laws, man. I really do. I've been very blessed, and blessed that my folks and her folks got along.
So they all helped finish raising you together.
Yeah, they have, including Karen and my son.
It's a group effort.
It's a village.
It takes a village.
It took a village, man. I'm 53 now. Now I'm grown. I can play with my choo-choo trains when I feel like playing with my choo-choo trains.
Man, mama.
Yeah, can I have my binky back? But no, I mean, very lucky because in-laws, I mean, sometimes you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm very fortunate, too. And I think with my mom, too, she's made a big effort to make sure that she's a good mother-in-law to my wife. You know, and she has. She's been really, really wonderful. You know, because she, my grandmother, my dad's mom, you know, so my mom made sure that, you know, she was a good mother-in-law.
It's good that they get along, too, because that's the worst when they don't. And you got to do separate stuff.
Well, we still do separate stuff, though, but we also do stuff together, which is nice.
All things separate. Well, y'all can do some kind of community. So that's good.
Yeah, which is very cool.
All right, here's another.
Yeah.
Me calling my wife one day into her 2-week business trip. Do I like soup?
I don't know if I like this. I got to call my wife to find out if I...
Am I allergic to peanuts?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
To me, that sounds like a Jewish husband right there, man. Do I like this? I don't know if I like it or not. Is this good? Is this bad? I don't know. Do I like to sit this way? Do I want to sit that way? I'm not too sure. Whatever. Absolutely, man. It happens. Now, this is a typical, I think, dad joke or whatever. Okay. So the wife says, have you seen the dog bowl? No. Is he any good?
That's
a typical dad joke.
That was good.
That's a typical dad.
I would have probably answered the same way.
Like, no. Because you're a dad.
Does he get a strike?
Yeah. That was his handicap.
He probably beat me.
He's on the team.
Get him a shirt. My favorite thing is climbing into bed after a long day to find that my husband has stolen the very pillow he assured me he did not want when I offered to buy it for him.
Yeah, I gotta say I'm kind of guilty about that a little bit, because it depends. Because there's times where nights where Karen will fall asleep on the couch, you know, and even to this day, 24 years, I still love to cuddle with her in bed. And so she's not there though; she's downstairs, whatever. Try to wake her up. Could I ever come up? Welcome. Okay, I'll leave her there. I will literally get her pillows and put them next to me or whatever, so she's forced to take them out of my arms when she does come to bed. You know, but yeah, I hold on to them, man.
Well, as a man, you know, we don't look for which pillow we land on. But if it's a smell to it, then if we're looking for our pillow, that's a problem for you ladies.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to lay on her pillow. It smells like...
Well, we've got 4 pillows or whatever, but I always take hers and bunch them up and put them on side. So I feel like I'm holding her.
Oh,
it's a substitute. See? Yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
It's a substitute. That's a substitute. Till she comes in.
Generous effort.
Yeah. Let's see here. My husband said something to me, reminds him of Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know what he wants from me, but whatever it is, he's going to get it. Yeah. All right. That's a woman right there.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Compliments.
Yeah.
Husband, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does it annoy you when I...
10.
10. No, he didn't even finish his sentence. Whatever, everything.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. Okay, last one here. Fairly sure most parole boards are more lenient than my wife in deciding who gets our holiday card.
Dang.
That.
She didn't say hi to me on my birthday, so she ain't getting one.
Exactly.
My sister ain't getting one this year since she ain't want to invite me to her party. Dang.
That's hardcore, man. That's gangster. That's gangster right there. I don't care what anybody says.
You better remember, too, or you better not speak to them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because if she finds out, you ain't getting one.
Oh, man.
You ain't getting one
of your own holiday cards.
She finds out, you ain't getting one.
You ain't getting on the picture this year because you over here want to say hi to my grandma.
It's okay. I don't want your picture anyway.
Dang.
So, let's see. What else we got? Oh, okay. So, this is something that I thought was a little interesting here. And so, how do I say this gently? So, your current girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay. All right. How long have you guys been together?
What's this year? 4 or 5 years.
Four or 5 years? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, let's see if you guys have had these arguments so far. So,
oh yes, we have.
Okay. All 30, no matter what,
no
all
matter
30
what
of
it
them.
Is.
Yeah. So now this is from psychology.com, and they're saying these are the core items that couples, the core disagreements that couple encounter throughout their togetherness, I guess you could say. Yeah. So, and a lot of them kind of blend in with one another too. The first one, not showing enough love or affection.
Oh yeah, of course. You get that time when you, you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You got to be reminded, like, hold on, this is still a job.
Lack of communication.
Of course.
So important.
Of course.
This kind of blends in with that. One not paying enough attention to the other. Not being appreciated. Those kind of all fall in, I think.
Yeah, but that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Feelings in general.
Oh, yeah.
You got to pay attention to the other person's feelings.
The other person, you mean the woman?
Or the guy. I mean, either or.
We don't have feelings often. Well, you have feelings?
I do. I do.
Baby, I got to tell you about my feelings.
You know, I feel certain ways or whatever. I want. Ask me.
You ain't asked me about my feelings.
I got a feeling. Don't want to ask. Shut up. I'm gonna go bed by myself. Oh. Do you guys ever deal with jealousy?
Of course. Yes.
Really?
Yes. She's Latina.
Oh, see, that's why I never dated a Latina. That's exactly why. Who's that girl? Why are you hugging her?
It's my cousin.
That's my mom.
Since when did you get so many cousins?
Why are you hugging your mom that way for? What business of yours? Go away. Yeah. And seriously, I all through high school, never liked dating Latina women. They were just too possessive for me. Hey. Way too possessive and way too jealous. I mean, there was a girl that I dated briefly where she was so jealous that she literally thought I had a thing with every girl I said hello to at a softball game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the thing was that I had them in class, different classes, you know. And I'm like, really, really, you really think I had a thing, you know, with each one of them, you know? And while they all treat you nice, I said, because that's because I treat them nice. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, we can't have that. I left her there. I didn't even take her home. Oh. I don't deal with jealousy, man. I drop it like a bad habit, you know, when I was dating. Don't have time for it.
I didn't see that red flag until it was too late.
Really?
But it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, I think it was kind of fortunate because my parents weren't like that. Yeah. And, you know, where there was an inside joke with my folks, give you a good example, that if, let's say we're at a wedding, somebody asked my dad to dance, and, you know, he wouldn't ask permission from my mom, but, you know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, you know, and they go and dance. And I think somebody had asked my mom, like, you don't mind that Manny's dancing? Why? He's right there. What's he going to help? What the hell is he going to do?
Yeah.
And besides, whatever he makes, I get 20%.
Yeah, right?
You know, that was the inside joke. So, you know, my wife at work kind of like the same way.
Jealousy without insecurity is okay.
You know, and it's like there's times that, you know, her phone will ring or whatever. Like, oh, is that your boyfriend?
Uh-huh.
No. Your girlfriend? We joke about it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you know. And it's just because jealousy to me, when it goes too far, it gets way out of
that
control.
That narcissistic possession, God. You know, when you're possessive narcissistically, statistically.
All those words he can't say. Simple as that. All those words he can't say. Yeah, say that three times. Okay. Talking to an ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you got to break it off. It's hard.
I think it depends on the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I mean, if it's a high school thing or whatever, yeah, you know, ex-husband or children, no children, it depends on the situation.
My problem is I'm friends with a lot of people that I used to talk to. We just, like, we're not going to do this anymore, but we can be cool. So
yeah, exactly.
So that's an issue because it's like, who was that? Yeah, that's just the homie now. Like,
yeah. And the thing is that's, again, where the jealousy may come back in, too. So you got to be careful. And, of course, that goes into being possessive, past relationships. What about whose friends you hang around the most? Is that ever an issue?
No, she ain't got no friends.
Poor thing.
No, I'm done. We don't have, because we hang around mostly family, so.
Got it.
I don't really have friends that I go hang with, and she don't really have friends that we hang, so it's mostly family, so.
For us, we were fortunate because she had all her girlfriends from either college or skating, because she used to roller skate. She used to be a figure skater.
Oh.
And so there was those group of girlfriends that she had and stuff. But then the other half of it were friends that were my friends that I, you know, went through college or worked with at Knott's or whatever. So they, you know, embraced her. So we had the same,
so they had the same
people.
Friends. Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, matter of fact, there's even a friend of mine, actually, a gal that I dated that her and my wife are extremely close, you know. And, you know, to the point where my friend said, if you don't marry this one, you're an idiot, you know, kind of a thing. So that's how close all three of us are. So, which is kind of good. And, you know, you need that too, I think.
Yeah.
At a certain point. So, all right, moving on here. Housekeeping, chores.
Yeah, that's me.
Who does more work?
I'm like, get these. Why is this still sitting here? It's been.
Why is the trash piling up?
I got OCD, though, so I can't see stuff just out of order for too long. I like order and getting back to, you know, I call it back to zero.
Got it.
Tell my kids, back to zero. This is what it looks like.
Yeah, and it's important, too. You know, it's important, too. Let's see. Not showing up when you're supposed to.
Not so much.
Yeah, same here. Share responsibilities.
Not so much. But yeah.
Yeah, I think with certain things, there's certain things it weighed more with my wife than me, you know. But I'd say, like, overall raising our son, I'm going to say it was more 60-40 with her, you know, with certain things. She did a really good job, but a lot of it she took the initiative too.
Well, traditionally it's going to be that way no matter which way you look at it. The parent, the dad might be 60 or the mom might be 60, but one of them has to kind of do a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's because one of them got to provide. So,
yeah. Hopefully both will provide, but yeah.
But exactly. Still, even so, like, one of them has to sacrifice a little bit more to for the kids or whatever. So,
yeah.
It's going to be kind of that split.
The next ones are big ones here.
Yeah, let's go.
One wants sex, the other doesn't.
Yeah, I'll be telling her, stop. I'm tired tonight. I got a headache.
You got to wash your hair.
I'm washing my hair.
I got to wash my cornrows, honey.
I just don't feel like it. I feel bloated.
You gotta, oh, wow. Things you never hear a man say. So, yeah, so that kind of goes on also with the frequency of sex and sexual acts itself also, you know. I've always felt, yeah, you want to have somebody who's, I think, going to be your equal.
Yeah.
Because if you've got one who has a very high sex drive and the other who doesn't, that's hard.
Or just nastier than you are. Like, I ain't that nasty. I don't do all that. I ain't doing all that.
That goes to number 18, which is sexual acts, whatever, you know. But I'll sit and watch.
I'll let you do your
thing. I'll sit and watch, you know. That's okay, you know. But, I mean, to me, that also kind of helps, I think, with the whole fantasy thing. And it helps bring you closer together because it's something you're doing together, you know, for the first time. You know, do it in baby steps or whatever. You know, whatever it is, whether it's using toys or watching porn together. Or
start with two shades of gray before you get to 50.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, start with a piece of rope, you know, before you get to the whole thing of the rope, you know, and the phrase and what have you.
Smack her a couple times. See how she reacts.
Yeah, just don't lick your hand first, you know.
Don't wind it all the way back.
Exactly. Let's see. Telling private information about relationships to others.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's,
I like that.
You've got to be very careful with that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have either a female and or a or female and male friends that you can really confide in, you know, about that. And unfortunately, I lost my two best friends, so I've got no one to talk to on certain things like that. You know, I did have those people I could go to. I will say I've got a couple of one really good female friend that I can go to with no judgment or whatever about it and discuss, which is, I think is good. Because that way it also gives me a female perspective of certain things. You know, and go, okay, am I wrong here or am I the idiot? You know.
And usually they say...
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, yes.
No, you're right. Okay. Let's see here. In-laws, we kind of talked about that a little bit too. So who's the boss? Who's in control? Dominance. Big things, I think, too.
I guess.
For some couples.
To a certain degree, I guess.
I can say that with Karen and I, it goes kind of back and forth. And with that, also the... it's a true team effort, you know, between us. Religion.
Nope, that's one thing we don't have to argue about. Because I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I don't.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference in that, too. Yeah. For us, it was a little bit different because being brought up Catholic, even though I'm more of a holiday Catholic still, I'm certain things about it that I wanted to get done in the Catholic Church, you know, get married in the Catholic Church and so forth and have my son do his communion, his confirmation, all those. So she knew right away, you know, and everything. And she understood it. But one thing I never, ever will push if is for her to convert. I will never do that.
Good.
You know, because that's her own choice. She needs to make that on her own.
Mm-hmm. You know? Your example should be converting enough.
Yeah, exactly.
She lives like you.
Then we're okay.
Yeah,
exactly. Goals in life, future plans.
Oh, yeah.
Children, of course. Yeah. Ours was how to raise the children. That was our biggest discussion.
Like what? What was the...
Discipline. Who was going to be the disciplinarian? Uh-huh. And I felt both of us should be. The biggest thing I learned actually from my mom and dad was that, let's say if I discipline, Karen doesn't like it. She still needs to back me up.
Yes, that's big.
Or vice versa. If she disciplines, big. I'm not crazy about it, I still need to back her up.
Yep. Hey, that's what your mom said.
Yeah. And it did, you know, because that way, you know, because I've seen it happen too, where kids will manipulate the parents, mm-hmm. you know, and go, well, you know, okay, well, mom said no, let me go see what dad says. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, I'll get her, you know. But if the dad's smart, well, what'd your mother say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, go ask your mom. I did. She said, well, okay. That's what your mom said.
Yeah, you know, and that puts the parents against each other, mm-hmm. you know, and you can't do that. Or let the child, allow the child.
They figure it out. They figure it out quite fast.
Oh, yeah.
Quite fast.
Yeah.
And daddy'll get it for me. Hold on, let me.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, for us, it's like we've nipped so many things in the bud with that, with our son. I mean, give you a quick example, you know, Pavlov's law, you know, you ring the bell or whatever, the dog does something or this or that, or the mouse to get the food or whatever. So I know a lot of kids will try to pout, or I saw that early on, you know, well, please, or begging or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so early, I played a game with my son. Give me lip. And he would stick out his lower lip, you know. And then I would start laughing. So that's what it was.
So when he pouts, you're like, ha!
And he would start laughing too.
Yeah.
So that way he knew he couldn't get away with anything.
That's a cool technique.
Yeah. It was Pavlov's law, basically, is what I did. You know? And the thing is, it kind of still carries to this day a little bit, you know? But it's, you know, you got to stay one step ahead of the game, basically.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch those shows. You got to watch them shows now that teaches them how to whine and stuff.
No.
Man, you got to watch that stuff, Coco Melon and Caillou. And
yeah.
Use your words, but he does it every day. It's like, quit whining at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, so there you go. So those are some things that people do argue about overall.
Those are all good arguments, though.
They are. And a lot of them are legitimate, though.
You got to work through that stuff.
But here's a bigger argument.
What is that?
So, and we're going to end with this here, basically. So this came out in 1955.
Oh.
Okay. And this was an actual article.
Okay.
In Good Housekeeping. On how to be a good wife.
In 1955. All right, let's just say that again.
Now, if you guys haven't heard this before, don't start sending letters and crap or whatever. This is 1955. Yeah. Now, we may throw in our own jokes in between them, but...
I may agree with everything they say.
But realize. So here's number one, and I'll try to go through these rather quickly here. Right. Number one, have dinner ready. Plan. You know what? Let me see if I can get this here.
You got some music back.
That is perfect music. There we go.
Woman,
have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. This is the way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs.
If your schedule is allotted, then I agree.
Number two, most men are hungry when they come home and the prospect of a good meal, especially his favorite dish, is part of a warm welcome needed.
Working hard.
Number three, prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives. Touch up your makeup, put a ribbon in your hair, and be fresh looking. He has just been with a lot of work weary people.
Okay, you look decent. You ain't.
I like the ribbon in your hair. Nothing else.
Hair tied, chilling with no makeup on.
You know, ribbon in your hair, a fresh look, and that's it. Just the ribbon, nothing else. Don't wear anything else.
That's winning.
That's winning. Exactly. Of course, this now has a different meaning today, but be a little gay and a little more interesting for him.
Happy. You know, be spread. Okay, I get you.
Yeah. But if you want to go the other route, too, hey.
Hey, that always works.
That works for me as well.
Send that one to me.
Yeah. His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it.
True.
That's true.
That's wifely duty.
If you're a little gay, bring your friend. All right. Number five.
I love this list.
Clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives.
Yeah.
Gather up the school books, toys, paper, etc., and then run the dishcloth over the tables.
I mean, if this is a stay-at-home wife, like this is, let's clear that up too.
Yeah.
If you got a job and you ain't doing none of this stuff,
or do both. Okay, number six. Over the cooler months of the year, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind by.
Oh, my.
Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order. It will give him... Oh, and it will give you a lift, too.
True.
After all, catering for his comfort will provide you with an immense personal satisfaction.
If he's allowing you to stay at home and you got a fireplace, yeah, have a lit.
Wow.
Have a lit. It's Liddy.
God, I can't. You know, even as I'm reading these, I'm like, really, really?
Sounds like he's giving her a good, comfortable life.
Where were we thinking? You know,
that she ain't got no job. That's what we're thinking.
All right, number seven. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces if they are small.
Aww.
Comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes.
No comment.
Number eight. Children are the little treasures, and he would like to see them playing the part. Minimize all noise at the time of his arrival.
Oh, dang.
Eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum, and try to encourage the children to be quiet.
Wow. Daddy's home. Everybody's silent.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
That's very extreme,
that's
man.
Extreme.
That is really...
Shut off every... Turn off the electricity. And have the dinner ready 15 minutes. And then go get your makeup.
We're going to become Amish when Dad's home.
Oh, my goodness.
From 5 o'clock till 5:45, we are Amish. All right, number nine. Be happy to see him. Free him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him.
Wait.
Listen to him.
So wait. If this is another rule, then the be gay one was specific.
I told you.
Said it twice.
You can take it either way. All right, number 10. You may have a dozen of important things to tell him, but in the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours.
Dang. Well, it was silent time, they already said, so...
Wow. As opposed to opening the door, do you know what your kids did? I want you to go upstairs and kill that boy.
Yeah. This list gets an 88%.
Jeez, man.
Give it a strong B.
All right. Number 11. Make the evenings his. Damn right. That's what I'm talking
Who
about.
Who wrote this list?
Some misogynistic right. person, apparently. Never complain if he comes home late or goes out to dinner or other places of entertainment without you.
What?
Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his very real need to be at home and relax.
Send me that one, too.
I'm going out with the boys. We're going to the gentlemen's club.
And rule number 11, lady. Don't you dare complain.
Wow. I'm telling you, man, some of these are hard to read. Number 12, your goal. Try to make sure your home is a place of peace, order, and tranquility where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit.
Now, that one we can, I will keep that one.
Number 13, don't greet him with complaints and problems.
I will keep that one, too.
Again, do you know what your son did?
Tell me after I ate.
My favorite meal.
My favorite meal.
Isn't that why there's a clock on the oven? You know what time it is?
Thank you.
Welcome. All right.
For my Latinas, que horas.
Where's the chili relleno? All right. Let's see. Number 14. Don't complain if he's home, if he's late home for dinner, or even if he stays out all night. Count this as a minor compared to what he might have gone through that day.
So they said it twice. They made sure you... Dang.
Yeah.
Man, had they way. I was born in the wrong era.
Which is why I think so many people in the 50s had bad marriages.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here we go.
Or two families.
Yeah. On the east side of town and the west side of town. All right. Number 15. Make him comfortable. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or have him lie down in the bedroom. Yeah, now we're talking. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him.
This is
I'll take a piña colada.
They're too specific, and then that's like repetitive.
It is, to a degree, on some of them, absolutely. Number 16. Arrange his pillow and offer to take off his shoes. Speak in a low, soothing, pleasant voice.
All the feminists are hating you right now.
Oh, yeah, they are. They can kiss my ass right now as far as I'm concerned. This is from 1955, bitches. This is old. We all know it's old. That's why we're laughing at it. And besides, can you arrange my pillow when you're done? All right. And here we go. The last two.
Oh, Lord.
Number 17. Don't ask him questions about his actions.
True.
Or question his judgment of integrity.
Yeah.
Or remember, he is the master of the house.
True.
And as such, you will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness. You have no right to question him. That is such bullshit if I ever heard.
This is the first time I understood when he said, make America great again.
Hello, Indiana. Man. And number 18, the last one. A good wife always knows her place.
Wow. Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to get this framed and see what happens. See how long it takes.
I'm on the wall. 1955. Yeah, I've got the copy, so here.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I'm getting this framed and hang up, see how long it stays up.
I can see your girlfriend. Nope. Nope. Sabiske. Uh-uh.
Sabiske.
Nope, you're going to Kmart on your own. No, uh-uh.
Oh, my.
You're lucky if I do even first five. And why am I talking like Tony Montana? I have no idea why. But I met your girlfriend, though. She seems a very nice gal,
she's
though.
She's very sweet.
Yeah, she seems very, very cool.
She does about 60% of these on her own.
Yeah. But in truthfulness or whatever, you know, you want to have a really good marriage. It is a give and take, and you want to do all those things, I think, for each other.
Yes, it's a compromise.
You know, in all seriousness, you know, there's a compromise there. I mean, I'll be very honest. I dated a girl before I met Karen, and where, I'll be honest, you know, we were like soulmates. It really matched. I mean, we literally finished each other's sentences, extremely connected. We were true soulmates. Had we continued and gotten married and everything, I don't know if I would have had the same life or not. And I did not understand what working at a marriage, because that came so easily with that relationship. It became very, very easily. But with Karen, I understood what working at a marriage means. And coming up, like I said, coming up February 24th, it'll be 24 years that we've been married. And I can honestly say that we have done what we're supposed to do, which is grow together, you know, and go through all the things that we needed to, because we met in our early 20s, went through our 20s together, got married in our 30s, went through our 30s, 40s, and 50s, you know, raised our son and everything. And it's just been a wonderful time. Have we had our ups and downs? Of course we have. But I will say that the best thing that has kept us together is laughter, though. You know, we know how to make each other laugh. Silly things, the funny things, you know, things that she'll say to me to make me laugh, or me to her, or whatever. And that, to me, is the best thing.
Yeah, that's key, because
overall,
most relationships get stale because they don't see the jokes anymore, or now your jokes are getting offensive, or now you take it, why you say that? And it used to be jokes, and now she's getting offended, or vice versa. So that's key.
Yeah. And you know, and to this day, I mean, like I said, we still cuddle. I mean, 24 years, we still cuddle in bed. You know,
bless her heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Get off of her! You know? And, but no, it's great. You know, it's wonderful that after all this time, we can still do that, you know, or snuggle up on the couch with each other. Mm-hmm. And not only that, though, but it's a perfect example to our son of what a good relationship should be. You know, it's okay to flirt with each other. It's okay to do little things with each other, you know, or say things to one another. And that he knows that that's the flirtiness that we have together as a couple. And he sees that. And that way, it's a good example for down the road for him to go, oh, this is how I need to be with my wife, you know, for significant other or whatever, you know. Which is,
an example perfect, is big.
It is. It really is.
I have none.
I'll help you.
I have no examples.
I'll help you, brother. I'll help you.
All my friends got divorced, too. So,
well, you know, real quick, same thing. We've had friends who've gotten divorced. I mean, we went to a double wedding. One was in the morning, one was in the afternoon. Both of those couples divorced. You know, it's crazy. You know, and what's even funnier is that some of the people who were at the morning wedding went to the afternoon wedding, too. So,
that's,
you know, a lot of the same people.
Movie.
Yeah, it's like, oh, take two.
Okay. Let's have a divorce party together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, but no, you got to be a team. You really have to be a team and appreciate each other and show that appreciation and keep dating each other. I think is a big key
dating
too.
Each other.
Make time, just because you got kids or whatever, make time for yourselves too. You know, surprise your husband, surprise your wife, you know, with different things. You know, bring in that third person, whatever it is, whatever you want to do.
Be gay from time to time.
Be gay from time to time, exactly. So, all right, guys, well, we are done for the day. We thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed today's show. Don't forget to, our website is yourweeklydose.com. X and Instagram is yourweeklydose1. And if you want to email us and send all your complaints regarding this 1955 letter of how a woman should be,
yeah,
a good wife, you can send those complaints to yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, keep on asking us questions, and that's probably why Lyric left, because we was going to name that tune.
Yeah. Chicken shit. He got out of it.
He said, oh, they're going to name that too. I'm
emergency, my butt. We'll get him, though, guys.
Okay.
We'll get him. Don't
keep
worry.
Ducking and dodging
we're,
it.
We're going to do name that sure. too. So, no. Seriously, whatever it is, hopefully, you know, it's a thing like a family emergency or whatever. Hopefully,
yeah,
everything's
hopefully
okay.
Everything's okay.
All right, guys. Until next week, be good to each other. Take care and have a good one.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.